This is Bill Finley from the Thoroughbred Daily News, and pleased to be joined by Scott Chaney, the new executive director of the California Horse Racing Board. He's been on the job all of about 4 days, already has his sleeves rolled up because so much going on, not just in California racing, but racing all around the country. And Scott, one quick question that I want to get out of the way and then kind of move on to other things. Right now, Santa Anita and the Stronach Group, as we see, is trying very hard to have racing resume at Santa Anita and presumably at Golden Gate as well. Does the CHRB play any role in this so far as whether or not they will be able to run again? And if so, what?
We haven't. The short answer is no. We haven't played a significant role in their request with the Los Angeles County Health Department. To this point, the CHRB has taken the position that we're not opposed to the concept. In fact, support the idea that, horse racing continue because we think there's good arguments and it's able to happen safely as it has in Orange County at Los Alamitos. But that, we've left it up to local health departments to really address the, the health concerns. I mean, that's what they're there for. We haven't substituted our judgment for the health board, but should Los Angeles County Health Department allow racing, we wouldn't object to it in any way.
Okay. Now, moving on to other subjects, and when you were appointed, they put out the press release announcing that you were the new executive director. You made a point of saying that the two main priorities for you are integrity and horse welfare. And I think just about everybody in the sport would agree with you that those are the two areas that the sport has to most focus in on right now. So let's just take sort of one at a time and let's start with integrity. And the recent indictments of the 27 individuals for a horse doping scheme from the FBI and the Department of Justice had nothing to do with California racing. None of those people raced there. But nonetheless, it really shed an eye on the industry and what may be the things the industry is doing right and the things the industry might be doing wrong so far as, quote unquote, cleaning up the game. And as a whole, what should the sport have learned from this, and how can the sport take the lessons that we saw in this very dark period, very dark moment, and use them and turn them around into a positive?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And man, you go right to the for the jugular. No, I appreciate that. And first reading it, obviously, my first thought is, of course, this would never happen in California racing, but then you read a little bit further, and that's based on the fact that, we have one of the best testing laboratories on the planet. And then you read a little further and you read that it's not really a question of, it wasn't a question of testing, right? The best laboratory on the planet couldn't have detected what these folks were doing. What it does is kind of make us all realize that, testing alone, even if it's the best in the world, is not, not going to, satisfy and buttress the idea of integrity on its own. That we need to, it needs to be a holistic approach, right? Investigations are important. That this is not something any particular jurisdiction is immune from, but it's something that we all have to face, right? Because just because there's you correctly pointed out that, I think a few of the folks were licensed in California, but, no one raced here anytime in the recent past or on any kind of regular basis. But, even though they weren't active participants here, horse racing is often painted with a broad brush. And so for me, it's a lesson that integrity is not something that can be forgotten. I mean, to be fair, if you would have asked the same, question, what are the most important things to you as executive director 4 months ago, and had I taken over, I might have said animal welfare, right? And, integrity might not have been part of that, but it has to be part of the conversation now. If people don't think that horse races are being conducted fairly, they're just not going to wager, and then the industry collapses. I mean, integrity, it has to be a focus of ours.
Okay, and Scott, one of the things that you mentioned already is that the testing, and again, you have to preface by saying this has nothing to do with California. We're sort of talking more in generalities, but you know, these guys are accused of doping literally hundreds, if not thousands of horses. Neither one ever had a positive test for any of the drugs they were again allegedly using. That led a lot of people to believe that maybe racing needs to focus more on boots on the ground, investigators, surveillance, and maybe that is a more, a more appropriate or a better way of perhaps catching the people who do want to break the rules in the future. Where does the CHRB stand on that? And where do you, what do you personally think about that that approach?
Sure. CHRB, to the extent that I can speak for us after 4 days, supports that approach. As I said, our testing at Davis is literally one of the best in the world. It's something that people say just to say, but in this case, it happens to be true. But what folks don't realize is it's not a static thing, right? I mean, every time you discover a new test or make a test more finite, you know, the wrongdoers find something else, right? And so then you have to go to the next level. And so you're constantly looking to refine testing and make it better, which is something that we do all the time. We're in the middle of some contract negotiations with the lab in order to make it even better than it is now. But the other piece of that is boots on the ground, right? But and it can be, I guess I should call it more brick and mortar, right? I mean, you know, one of the recommendations in the fatality report that came out about 2 months ago after tragedies in Santa Anita last year was surveillance cameras. Santa Anita has a state-of-the-art, you know, surveillance system at their track, and it's everywhere. And there are cameras everywhere. As a steward, when I was there, it was extremely helpful in terms of putting cases on in front of us. We could literally see the rule violation taking place on camera. And so, you know, that's not a person, or it's a person monitoring TV monitors. But that's one way. And then just the manpower. I mean, in California, we're lucky. We're well funded. And, you know, we have a vibrant investigative staff. But, you know, it's never enough, right? You always need a few more people.
Mm-hmm. And Scott, now let's move on to the horse welfare issues, which, again, are a major part of what the CHRB has to look at and things that are going to obviously affect the future of this industry. And it's amazing. You never think this would happen, but it has sort of been shifted into the background because along comes an even bigger story in the coronavirus. So we haven't really heard a whole lot lately about this issue. And of course, that has a lot to do with the fact that Santa Anita isn't racing. But when it comes to doing right by the animal and making this sport as safe as possibly can be, how far do you think California has come, and how far do you think California still has to go?
Wow. That's the question, right? I would be lying if I could, or making a number up if I could give you some sort of percentage, right? We've come a long way, for sure. I've been a steward a long time, and but more than that, I've been pretty active in writing regulations and policy and animal welfare, specifically crop reform. Writing crop reform has, you know, been a big issue of mine. And when I was given this opportunity, I looked at it as becoming the issue, right? You know, sadly, we had a number of breakdowns last year at Santa Anita. Awful time for racing. If there's silver lining, if there's some positive that came out of it, it's that the industry, California, and as you can see all over the country, is ripe for reform. We're ready, right? We've done a lot of the easy stuff. The report came out, what, about 2 months ago? I know that my job as executive director will be implementing all of the, you know, suggestions and recommendations outlined in that report, and then going even further. I like to think I have a different perspective. Obviously, you know, I grew up in racing. I was an assistant trainer. I've been a steward. I started racing because I love horses. And if I could, if I could work with them on a daily basis, my favorite job has been assistant trainer so far. I didn't like getting up at 4:30 working 7 days a week, but I'm in the business because I like horses. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's super simple. It's not more complicated than that. And so animal welfare has to be number one. Every I get reports if we have a catastrophic injury. When I get one of those, it hurts. And so my goal is not to make that go away. The goal is zero. That's, you know, probably down the road at some point. But I think each year, each month, each day, we should be challenging ourselves to come up with ways to make it more safe. It's going to be an industry approach, however. Right now, I've taken a job with the California Horse Racing Board. At the end of the day, we're a regulatory body, right? We're only a piece of it. Our job will be to put forth policies and regulations that that make racing safer. But we're not the only group that can do that, right? Every stakeholder has that ability.
So let's stay on the issue of the whipping, which you brought up. And this Sure. has been something that has been talked about for a long time in California racing, so far as, you know, should we ban the whip? Or if we don't ban it, what sort of rules should we have? But everybody has been talking about, at the very least, stricter rules than what has been the status quo and the norm. And it's, I know that there's been a lot of regulatory hurdles and some red tape. And then now, of course, we have the coronavirus putting everything on hold. But it seems to me, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, this has sort of just been hanging out there in the cloud, so to speak, without anybody taking any definitive action. So, two-part question: when might we see changes to the whipping rules in California, and what would you like those changes to be at the end of the day when all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed?
Sure. I will answer both of those. Let me circle back 1 second, because okay. You did mention the virus
sure.
and whether animal welfare takes the back seat. I think that is a reasonable concern, right? We're concerned about paying mortgage and just making sure horses are fed, you know, much less sort of what was going on in the industry before this happened. I mean, clearly it has to be the focus right now, but in every conversation I've had so far as executive director with, you know, track personnel or racing offices or whatever conversation, I make it a point to remind everyone that I've taken this job for a reason, and animal welfare is still an issue, even if A, racing isn't going on, or B, we're trying to figure out, you know, the best way to sort of manage the virus. So make no mistake, animal welfare is not taking a back seat to the current pandemic. In terms of whipping, I think I don't accept the premise of your question, happily.
Okay.
In terms of when, let me be clear. Because my position's always been clear. I don't think jockeys should carry crops. It's not necessary. To me, it's not a safety issue. That's a red herring. And that 10 years from now, if jockeys are still carrying riding crops, we've taken a wrong turn somewhere. I think this will eventually be, I mean, it is a national issue, but I think everybody will be on board eventually. I also know that, you know, change comes slowly in racing, and that there should be some incremental approach, right? And that's what the California Horse Racing Board has taken. We actually have a rule out. I wrote the original rule in terms of, you know, three times in succession without giving a chance to respond, and that's been the rule in California. And as you can see, it kind of filtered out around the country. We have a new rule out for, I think it's 45-day comment right now. It should be on the May board meeting, if I'm not mistaken. That changes the whip rule again. Basically, it's 2 times, 6 total in the race, and they have to be underhanded. That is, you can't turn your stick up. It would be the most restrictive rule that I know of on the planet. I don't want to say that definitively, because there could be some jurisdiction out there that's even more restrictive. But this couldn't be more restrictive. If the board passes it in the next month or two, you know, it would be law in the next 3 or 4 months. So that whip reform is not on the back burner in California, and especially now with me as executive director.
Now, and Scott, you said that you would like to see the day when the jockeys do not carry whips, period. How,
sure.
If, again, I know you're one of many people that have a say in this. You have stakeholders you have to talk to. There are other members of California Horse Racing Board. So you don't get to make this decision all by yourself. But in a perfect world, how far away are we from something like that, at least in California?
In California, I would be surprised if riders have whips in 2 years. And personally, I would like it before that. I'm not the only one who has a say. In fact, I can nudge and encourage and try to help out the board. But at the end of the day, I serve at the pleasure of the six, hopefully at some point, seven board members. But I'm not speaking out of turn. I think that's the chairman's sort of stated goal. But he also recognizes that we should have at least an incremental approach. To be fair, I mean, there's two, jockeys and other stakeholders. It would be a sea change in racing. I think it would be a good one. Hopefully one of the perspectives that I bring is that I have, a significant life outside of racing. And, it's increasingly becoming difficult to me to justify, the use of the whip. I think when we're in horse racing, you tend to be sort of habitualized to it. And that sometimes it's a good, it's a good idea to kind of step out and see what like a new fan or someone who doesn't know anything about racing thinks about it.
And Scott, the other thing, and you may not be able to answer this because, again, 4 days on the job, understand that you still have a lot to learn about this role. But at the height of the problems at Santa Anita last year, the animal rights community was a real thorn in horse racing's side and, threatened to do severe damage, perhaps to the point where the sport would actually be banned in Southern California or perhaps, of course, throughout the entire state. I've never quite got a good feeling about where we are now. Do you think the animal rights people are saying we're happy with the industry, that things have gotten better, and therefore we're going to back off a little bit? Or do you think the animal rights people are still as vitriolic as ever and still as determined as ever to create problems for the sport?
Yeah, I think it's a spectrum. We often, and I probably am included in this, oftentimes just say animal rights activists as if it's some monolithic group, right? It's not. It's like saying horse racing people is a monolithic group. Admittedly, I'm kind of, on the front edge of reform, whereas maybe the rest of the industry might not be in the same spot. And that's true of animal rights activists as well. There's some very reasonable groups out there who, want us to conduct racing in the safest possible way and have been very supportive in terms of reform and ideas and helping us, actually pushing us to, places where we should go. At the same time, there are, some pretty fringe groups out there who won't be happy until racing doesn't exist in California or the country or the rest of the world. You get the sense that those groups will never be satisfied. So we could, take every precaution known to man, to prevent every injury you could possibly think of. And, those groups will not be happy until racing has ceased. I think that racing is a lot better position than it was a year ago, coronavirus notwithstanding, obviously. But in terms of reforms that we've taken and having people actually understand what we actually do and how horses are treated. I was an assistant trainer for 8 years. I have intimate knowledge with respect to horse care, especially in Southern California, which is the best of the planet. I mean, thoroughbred racehorses in California eat better than I do. And that's saying something because I do Ironman for fun.
Right.
To a large extent, they get way better care than your average backyard horse. And I think we as a, as an industry need to point that out and also trumpet the reforms we're taking. A lot of the conversation has been driven by, fringe animal rights groups who won't be satisfied and just listen to, our board meetings.
Scott, I read an interesting story about you going back a couple weeks ago, or maybe not even that long, but you admitted that in 2013, you threw your hat in the ring for this very same job, which you now have. You did not get it. And I thought it was a very insightful quote. You said, in a way, that was a blessing because I wasn't ready in 2013. Why not? And how are you different today than you were 7 years ago?
Yeah, that's a good question. Thanks for asking it. I think there are two fronts on that. One, just from a personal standpoint, I don't know that you know, is vowing to move to Sacramento or, it seemed like a next logical step in sort of my progression in racing, if you will. And it became open. It seemed like something I should apply to. I think I remember talking to the two of the board members who were interviewing at the time, and they said, "I'm surprised you want the job." And I said, "I'm not sure that I do," which is probably not the best answer if you're right. trying to get a job. Rick's been an excellent choice. And I think I've learned a lot as a steward, sort of watching him do the job. And I think the second piece is, and part of the reason I took it this is, took the job is I think the industry is a little more ready for me as well, in the sense that, over the course of the last year, we've become a lot more open to reform. And I felt like I could do be a little truer to myself if I took the job at this point.
Scott, you talked a little bit about your background, about being involved in Ironman competitions. The other things that people should know about you: you grew up in Maryland, your parents owned a few horses, you went to Dartmouth undergrad, then you went to USC Law School. How the heck does a guy...
My parents are very proud that I picked...
How the heck does a guy go from USC Law School to working on the backstretch of a racetrack?
Good question. Yeah, my parents are very proud after... an Ivy League education, the JD that I decided I wanted to train horses.
Right.
It's serendipity, I guess, in some ways. When I was a first 1L in law school out in California, I decided I wanted to do some sort of equine law as a summer job and applied to a few law firms in Kentucky because they, Lexington, Louisville seemed to have a few areas that did it most. Didn't get any of the jobs. I guess I didn't, nepotism is alive and well, I suppose. My first year I decided just to work at the racetrack. I thought it would be neat. I actually met a trainer called Daryl Vienna, who's also an attorney, through his law partner at the time. She went to USC as well and found it way more interesting that he was, he was her partner, and, asked if I could work for him. My 1L summer, walked hot to my first summer, and then sort of the rest was history. The second summer, I groomed a couple horses and actually even tried to groom while I was in law school because I had this excellent grade one winning filly. Found that too exhausting, so finished law school, took the bar, and then became his assistant full time. So it was kind of a weird progression, but I was a... I was the kid who in law school who went to Santa Anita every weekend to watch horses.
Right. Well, Scott, very good. Thanks so much for your time, and congratulations on your new appointment with the CHRB. And we look forward to the days ahead, getting rid of this virus, getting back to normal, and seeing what you can do, which I'm sure is a lot, to make California racing even greater than it is right now. Scott, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.